wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation. Conversation's not just what you say. Conversation is what your whole life says. We all were in there. We all had our conversation in time past in the lust of the flesh, of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. So we were all born physically alive and spiritually dead, cut off, alienated, having no hope without God in the world. Yes, a spiritually dead man still gets up every morning, hits the snooze button a couple of times, goes off to work, raises his children, he pays his bills, but he's walking on a road that's at best paved with good intentions that somebody else laid out. Under a ruler, the Bible talks about this spirit of disobedience. We never chose to do that. We never willingly submitted ourselves to Satan. No. But Satan takes advantage of those needs that we have for acceptance and security and significance, and he offers us counterfeits to fulfill our needs. You see, Satan couldn't take the blessing of God by force, and so he took it with a lie. He talked one man into sin, and the whole human race was condemned under his dominion, just like Adam. So what does a spiritually dead man do with these three needs that he cannot fulfill? Well, he goes looking in the creation for what only the Creator can possibly give. Because of our need for acceptance, we go out, we try to perform. We find a room that's full of people and we'll become whatever that room wants us to be, like little puppets, and we'll go and act a certain way so that we can feel accepted. But that only buys temporary acceptance from people who can drop you the moment you stop acting the way that they want you to act. How many have had friends in the world that when you called them in your dire moments, they didn't pick up the phone? Huh? And you're left wondering, you feel rejected. You feel like, what's going on here? I did everything they wanted me to. And still, there's no one here when I need them the most. But listen, only God accepts you as you actually are. And because of that acceptance, he gives you the power to transform. Not put on a show, not put on an act, but to actually transform your life into what he wants you to be, what he wants to create you as. He proved that already by loving us while we were still sinners. Thank God that he accepts us. Amen. Because of our need for security, we try to accumulate. We try to build a hoard of things that we think we're just shoring up against the danger in the world. And we build a bigger barn and a hedge against every threat that we can name. Oh, but even the strongest buildings can be wiped out in a moment. And at the end, it's the same way every time. Because everything under the sun is temporary. And your security, your castle that you built, the biggest threat is that what you built, the biggest threat is behind the walls already. It's you. You're your own worst enemy. You'll sabotage yourself by the end of the day. But listen, only God can hold you through what you cannot survive alone. And He gives you the authority over all the power of the enemy. And He's never lost a battle. Not once. And He never will. And He has never lost one soul that He was holding on to. Never. Because of our need for significance, we try to build up a name for ourselves. We reach for the title. We reach for the platform, the thing that's still standing. What's going to outlast me? What's going to leave a legacy in my life? But you'll spend your whole life propping up a worldly monument that will not outlast you by much. You build that ladder, you lean it against the structure, you think you're climbing up the corporate ladder, and all of a sudden you reach the top. And I've seen it so many times in the corporate world. I've been here 25 years and they're letting me go. Huh? Right? You built it against the wrong structure, my friend. Only God gives you a name that matters. And gives you the power to become His child. And He writes that name in heaven for all of eternity where nothing can erase it. Amen. Nothing can take your name out of the Lamb's book of life. And what do these needs do? They drive us to sin. Those desires seek some. It's like treasure hunting, that for treasure you'll never find. It drives you, wakes you up late in the middle of the night or early in the morning and makes you go sit out. I've seen it where I'm driving to go pick someone up for church and there's somebody waiting outside of the liquor store for him to open on a Sunday. It's like, it doesn't open till 10. This guy's here at 8 o'clock in the morning. 'Cause that's what sin does. It drives you to go places you didn't want to go, spend longer than you wanted to stay. Amen. It makes you look for some way to exchange for something that is at the root of all evil. And it's not just a personality flaw or a bad habit, like I said. But when we worship and serve the creature more than the Creator, what is that? It's idolatry at its core. And it's what a spiritual corpse wants when it still has this desire, this memory down on the inside and feels that deep need and that longing for what it lost in the garden. A spiritually dead man will spend his whole life seeking and searching to buy what God gives away for free. And I've seen the cost. I've seen the lengths that men will go. I've seen the wreckage of broken lives. I've seen the wretched disease of sin. I've seen the mindless masses driven by the whip of that sin's worst taskmaster. Satan is a cruel taskmaster. Satan will drive you and drive you and drive you and then leave you left for dead. He's a liar. Amen. And it seems so dark and dismal and horrible what sin does to a soul. And you're sitting on this side of glory going, why are you doing that? What's causing you to go? And they're driven by that whip, that master of sin, which is the devil, that spirit of disobedience. And they're by nature, amen, the children of wrath, even as others. But I'm so thankful for this next verse. Verse 4 says, but God, who is rich in mercy for His great love, wherewith He loved us, Amen. This is when the light turns on. This is when the sun starts shining. This is when the clouds part. Amen. In the darkest night of sin, this is when those that are locked up in the prison of sin, amen, hear the shackles fall off of their feet, hear the door swing open, and they can walk out in freedom. Amen. But God, this turns around the whole entire story. Amen. But God, who is rich in mercy. But God, who's loved us. Oh, but God, who loved me when I didn't love myself. But God, who gave himself for me. Amen. When I couldn't even pick myself up off of the ground. Amen. But God, who is rich in mercy. Thank you, Jesus, for your mercy and for your love. Hallelujah. Somebody praise the Lord this morning for the mercy and the love of God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. Unfortunately, if you ask most people what God did about mankind's sin problem, you'll hear this. Jesus died for my sins. I am forgiven, and when I die, I go to heaven. And that's why I'm talking about being more than forgiven today. Because, look, every word of that is true. But it's only part of the truth, at best. And a partial gospel is a powerless gospel. If you don't have the whole gospel, if you don't have the death, the burial, the resurrection of our Lord Jesus, if you don't have all of it, you don't have any of it. Amen. I'm not going to take anything away from anybody. I can't. And I want you to know this. The blood of Jesus is enough. It's enough to forgive you. Forgiveness is not a small thing. Forgiveness is the very beginning of why we can even turn to God, why we can even have faith in God. It's because of His shed blood. What I'm telling you today is that it was never meant to stop there. That's just part of it. That's not the whole story. And the Bible's so clear on this. That if you look at the gospel story and you have death, the death of Jesus Christ, which paid the price for our sins and allows us to have forgiveness, you have the death. That story would be like every story of every religious person or every religious founder that ever lived. And it would not have the power to transform your life. Okay, well, what if we just had the death and we had the burial and we have that tomb permanently closed and that seal is permanent? You see what I'm saying? If you have a death and you have a burial, but you don't have the resurrection, you don't have anything. You don't have anything. And God came to give us, Sister Greeley read the verse today. He came to give us life and that more abundantly. Not walking around asking for forgiveness all the time and, oh, thank God for forgiveness, thank God for forgiveness. But the sins stay unburied and just open in your life and then there's no hope of a resurrection. Come on, this is what we're talking about today. We're more than forgiven. Praise the Lord. You see, the price that was demanded for sin was not just the life. Otherwise, the lamb's life in the beginning of, Genesis chapter 3 would have been enough. No, the price demanded for sin was a perfect life. Think about it. That's what Adam lost. That's what Adam spoiled when he sinned. He owed God a perfect life, which he could not pay. That's another lie Satan tries to tell you. He'll try to say, well, you got to clean everything up and you've got to be perfect before you could ever step foot in the door. No, you could not pay that price. That's exactly why he came to pay the price. Only God could pay, because he was the only one that had a perfect life to give. Amen. On that cross, God paid in full with his own blood. And then the burial carried our sins far away, blotting them out and sealing them forever. And he went into the tomb with a purpose to get victory forever over death and hell and the grave. And the resurrection reveals his true identity as God manifest in the flesh. The resurrection declared him to be both Lord and Christ with power forever. Because there's never been another teacher, never been another prophet in history, never been another religious founder that walked out of his own grave. Amen. Amen. That's even putting it too simply. Because Jesus himself declared who he was. Then he declared what was going to happen to him. And then it happened. And then, just like he said, he came up out of that tomb. He resurrected his mortal body to show who had the power over sin, death, hell, and the grave. Amen. And that's what he wants to give to us this morning. The blood is the cure. The burial is the cleansing. And the resurrection is the life, eternal life, full eternal life and free. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise God. And there's another part. We've got to deal with Satan. We've got to deal with this taskmaster. There's this other part of the gospel that unfortunately most Christian churches will never preach, because something had to be done about that spirit of disobedience that was holding on to us. And Colossians chapter 2, I've been going to Colossians chapter 2 a lot lately, but 2:14 says this, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. And then it says, and having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. What that means is that the debt that was against you, the debt that Adam owed, the debt that I owe, the debt that you owe, was nailed to his cross. And the one who held you in slavery and in chains was disarmed out in the open where everybody could see it. Embarrassed for the world to see. And look exactly how that happened. See, at Calvary, Jesus had that robe on. And they stripped him of it in front of the crowd, in front of women and children, thinking that they were going to put him to an open shame. And the devil stood there probably cackling, laughing, thinking that he had won. What he didn't know was what he had just turned loose. See, Jesus was wounded for our transgressions. And he was bruised for our iniquities. And for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross and despised the shame. Hallelujah. When the tomb came open, the shame belonged to only one party. And the devil has worn it ever since. See, there's no hope for him. Amen. When Jesus came out of the grave, he left your shame in it. And look at what he did when he met those two women on the road in Matthew 28:9. And it says, and they went to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met them saying, all hail. And they came and held him by the feet and worshiped him. Amen. See, they fell down and they took hold of his feet and they worshiped him and he receives it. See, if he were just an angel, he wouldn't have taken that worship. If he were one of the disciples, Peter, he wouldn't take worship. Paul and Barnabas tore their clothes when people tried to worship them. But he came out of the tomb and he received worship. Worship that no mere man could have received. Amen. He came out and was worshiped and declared, all hail. I have power. I have all power in heaven and in earth. Amen. All power. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. I worship you, mighty God. I praise you, Lord. Jesus, thank you, Lord. I owe you my worship, Lord Jesus. Because you died, you were buried, and you resurrected for me, Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise God, praise God. Amen. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 5, continuing on here, says, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together. By grace are you saved. So how does that life get into a spiritually dead man? Well, Jesus answered it himself. And he answered it for about the most religious man in all of Jerusalem. Nicodemus was a Pharisee, a ruler of the Jews, and a teacher in Israel. So everything that Nicodemus could have gotten by effort alone, he already had it. He felt he had acceptance. He felt he had significance. He felt he had security. But I can imagine Nicodemus going to lay down late that night and something was missing. Something was bothering him. Something was gnawing at the back of his mind. What am I doing? I've got everything. I've got the title. I've got a nice house here. I've got recognition. I'm a teacher. I'm a ruler. I've got everything I could possibly have. He's got this checklist and he's looking at it and I've got this and I've got that and I got the whole thing. I got everything. But yet, when he went to lay down that night, something was missing. And he had heard of Jesus. He heard of this wonderful counselor. He heard of the mighty God that was going around and healing the sick and raising the dead. And he couldn't even come close to that power. He couldn't even come close to that kind of security. And so I can imagine Nicodemus coming up with a plan. I'm going to go find him in the middle of the night. And I'm going to ask him, what can I do? What's the next thing I can do to get more wealth or more, concocting this whole plan? And he goes to Jesus by night and he starts out and he starts telling Jesus all of these accolades. We know you're a teacher come from God, because no man can do the miracles that you're doing except God be with him. And Jesus didn't even wait for him to ask his question about his next business plan or how he could be secure or how he could have more significance. No, Jesus cut right to the chase in John 3:3. Jesus answered and said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Didn't say thank you for all of the accolades, didn't say nothing. No. He knew why Nicodemus was there. Nicodemus saith unto him, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. There's your answer. If you want significance, if you want security, if you want that acceptance, if you want the blessing of the Lord on your life, if you're spiritually dead and you're tired of living in that cycle of sin, you must be born again. That's the answer. You got to be born of the water. And you got to be born of the Spirit. Amen. Born of the water is that burial. We're buried with Him in baptism. Born of the Spirit is to be rise with Him to walk in the newness of life. Amen. Praise God. That's the new birth. That's being born again. And it was defined by the Lord Jesus Himself. The water is where the name is invoked and the blood is applied and that old man is buried and the Spirit is where life comes back in and man gains what Adam lost, the blessing of the Lord on his life. Amen. Go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 15 verse 22. It says, for as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. Born, if you're born the first time, you have a heartbeat, but you've got a bunch of trouble. But when you're born again, you have the power of an endless life. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, God, that I became new in you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, that I have the power of an endless life, God. Praise the Lord. Jesus said all of that before Pentecost ever came. And so when the crowd gathered and stood there, they were cut to the heart. And they asked Peter and the rest of the apostles, what are we supposed to do about this? Peter didn't just hand them a prayer, say, repeat this prayer after me. He didn't say that. No. It's on the sign behind me. Then Peter said unto them in Acts 2:38, repent and be baptized every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. And ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Peter didn't invent that. He obeyed what Jesus said. The last verse here in Ephesians 2:6. It says, and hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. That's present tense. Sit together. Made us to sit together in heavenly places. That's right now. That's not some future promise down the road. That's not someday when you die. But right now we are seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, if you're in Christ Jesus. Amen. And that's the part almost nobody understands and nobody fully claims, because everything God promised, everything, He put it in one place, one location. Galatians 3:27 says this, for as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. Into Christ. That's a place. That's a location spiritually where you live, where you are, where you breathe. Amen. It's all about where you are. You're either in sin or in Christ. You're either in the world or you're in Christ. You can't be in both places at the same time. But when you're in Him, I'm accepted in the Beloved. I'm secure because I've been sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. And I carry the earnest of my inheritance. And I am significant because I was given power to become a son of God. And my name is written down in heaven. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. See, Adam lost all three because of a tree. But Jesus gave it all back to us on a tree called Calvary. Amen. Now, I want to tell you why I know this matters. See, I grew up in Las Vegas. And before I was 7, I had already stolen, lied. I would walk around and cuss at people. Not a good kid. Not a good kid. And I'd seen things. Things that I'm not comfortable talking about. On billboards and on the strip, no child has any business seeing those things. Nobody had to convince me that I was a sinner. But I remember one night my pastor, Dallas Mefford, was preaching, and I just got so convicted. And I went up to the altar and I just cried out to God. I remember my Sunday school teacher was there. My aunt was there. My mom was playing the piano. And I just looked up with tears in my eyes and I just cried out to God. And I remember people coming and praying for me. And my aunt went and told my mom, I think he got the Holy Ghost. But my mom said, well, he hadn't been baptized yet and he didn't tell me that himself. So we'll see. But Brother Mefford, a few days later, baptized me in the wonderful name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And my life was changed. I felt light in that moment. I remember my dad holding me, picking me up, had a towel wrapped around me, and I felt like I was going to float away. It was so good, so clean, so pure. Amen. And at 8 years old, in my grandfather's church, Jim Sism in Fort Collins, God filled me with the gift of the Holy Ghost in a prayer line. I was the last person in line. My Sunday school teacher, again, this should speak to these Sunday school teachers. My Sunday school teacher came back, saw me. I was playing in the back with her son, only 8 years old. And she said, she marched back there, Sister Kimes, and she said, you boys need to get in that line. So I went up and got in the line, and I was prayed for by the elders of the church and the evangelist. And I received the power of the Holy Ghost that night, speaking in tongues. Amen. I remember I was on, when I finally came to after I was done praying, I was way over here and I didn't know how I got there. I started in the middle of the church and I didn't know how I got on the other side, but God filled me with the gift of the Holy Ghost and there's nothing like that. And I remember that night like it was today. Amen. And I had every bit, when I was 8 years old, of acceptance and security and significance. I had every bit of it. But we moved around the country. We went to states. My dad was looking for work. And by 15, I'd gone to several different schools, lived in several different homes. And that transient nature, I couldn't get connected to people. By 15, I'd lost that connection. I started to drift. We'd move from state to state and I'd gotten disconnected from the truth and distracted by the world. And I'd sat under the greatest preaching. It wasn't the preaching. It wasn't the teaching. Amen. I still didn't get it. If I go back and listen to those same tapes today, I get so much more out of it than what I was getting out of it when I was 15 or 16, 17, 18. But before long, I started drinking. I started drinking to fit in. And then I started drinking to forget. Started smoking pot and everything. And before long, I was actually approached and asked, could I sell these drugs to another group of people? And I did. I took the drugs from them. I went over and I sold them. I got my little cut and I thought, oh man, this is a good idea. except for the moment I held those drugs, I was petrified. Yeah. But the thing is I kept going that way. I kept hitting that button, doing the wrong thing. By 17 years old, I remember I came home from work and my dad was standing in the garage. And as I was coming up the hill towards the house, he pushed the button and said, "Sorry, son, you don't live here anymore." And so I was homeless, put out of their house. He said, "Your stuff's in your car." And not, by the way, I'm not giving you the keys because it's not insured. I said, "Well, how am I supposed to get my stuff, Dad?" "Well, you could come knock on the door and I'll unlock it for you." But the problem was, is I was sinning and I was repenting and I'd pray through and I'd sin and I'd repent and I'd pray through and I'd sin and I'd repent and I'd pray through. And that's not the life that God raised me for. And here's what I had wrong the whole time. I thought that Jesus was supposed to miraculously stop me from sinning, when the power to walk away from sin is exactly what he'd already given me. And I was wasting the anointing because I never fought for my identity in him. I was fighting the call of God instead. God got a hold of me that last year that I was at home. And I told my pastor that I'd made a mistake. See, when I got kicked out of my house, I went to a neighbor's house. And he said, "You can stay here for 3 nights." And the next morning I woke up and he said, "Listen, Darren, you're not mature enough to fend for yourself. You still need parents. You need a roof over your head. You need clothes on your back. You need food in your belly." And he said, "I'm not that guy. But I can take you down to the Navy recruiter and you can sign up to get into the military and they'll do that for you." And so that's next morning. We woke up, went down, and I signed up for the Navy. And that's how I ended up here in Groton. See, I just thought, I got convicted about that because I knew I'd done that to run away from God. I came and I told my pastor that I'd signed up for the Navy and I made a big mistake. And he told me, "I think that'll be good for you." He knew what I needed. He knew I needed purpose. He knew I needed discipline. He knew I needed a higher calling. And that's what the years in the military put in me. Jesus is God. I'm his child. And he is in control. So I'm not here to tell you that I've arrived today. I'm not here to tell you that I'm perfect. But I do know that I am in Christ Jesus. I'm alive in him. Amen. And old things are passed away. And I have the Holy Ghost power to walk away from sin. And that's something that the children of wrath do not have. And I know who I am. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. If you would stand with me today. Look, I know there's people in this room who've been forgiven 100 times. But you've never once been raised to life. And you know the cycle that I was talking about. Because you're living in it. And it's not the life that Jesus died to give you. He did not pay that price on the tree so that you could continue in a cycle of hurt and shame and desperation and sin. You don't need another apology to God this morning. You need a resurrection. And every promise that I've preached and the scripture I've read, it belongs to people who are in Christ. Amen. And there's only one door. There's only one way, one truth, and one life. And if you ask Jesus this morning to reveal himself to you, he will do it. He will. If you come in earnest and you say, God, show me yourself. Show me your glory. Show me, amen, the path forward into life. Amen. And if you ask him how to be saved, he'll say the same thing that he told Nicodemus. Repent. Turn loose of it. Tell God the truth about what has had you. Confess it to him. And be baptized in the name of Jesus. Not just a title, but in the name that's the only name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. And you shall. It's not a maybe or a might or sometimes, or it's for some people and not for other people. You shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. And that's the Spirit of the risen Lord moving into a body that was spiritually dead. And there's water this morning. There's clothes you can change into if you've never been baptized. And it will cost you nothing but your pride. If you've never received the Holy Ghost, stop asking whether you're worthy of it. Nobody is. That's the whole point of Calvary, is to show each and every one of us that we're not worthy, but we're worth it. Hallelujah. And I know there's some people here that have been, they were born again years ago. And you've lived like you've been lost. You should come too. Come to the altar. Not to start over. Not to start again. But to find out what's been yours all along. And I know some of you are thinking right now of lost loved ones that need the blessing of God. Come to this altar and bring their names to the Lord and put them in His hands. Amen. Come and ask Jesus to reveal Himself to you. And when you know Him, you'll find out who you are. And you'll find out that you're much, much more than forgiven. Amen. Come today as we pray. Hallelujah, Jesus. Lord, we come to you. We come to this altar this morning. We're asking you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah, to fill us up, Lord God, to overflowing, Lord Jesus, with life, Lord, evermore, God. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah. Oh, Lord, I need my family, God, to be saved, Lord. I need my loved ones to hear the word and be saved, God. Lord Jesus, I love you. Lord God, oh, show us yourself. Show us your glory, God. Show us who you are, Lord. Oh, God, touch my family. Somebody grab a family member and begin to pray with them. Somebody grab the loved one and begin to pray with them. Oh, Jesus, I love you, Lord. Oh, I love you, Jesus. Somebody find somebody to pray with today. Hallelujah. This is our hope, Lord. You're our only hope, God, in this world. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, I love you, God. I praise you, Lord. Come on, let's pray. Musicians, would you just pray right now? Hallelujah. Play softly and pray right now. Jesus, touch our families, God. Touch our loved ones, Lord. Jesus, give us that life, Lord, that's only from you. Glory, glory, glory.
All the things you've done for me, no one can worship you for me.
Worship Oh, for as long as I am breathing, oh, I will always worship you. Oh, and I will not be silent. I will always worship you, God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Oh, Lord, thank you for your presence today, God. Thank you, Jesus, for life that's abundant and free, Lord God. Thank you for the blessing of the Lord and favor that's on our life, God. Thank you, Jesus, for saving me, Lord God, when I was lost, Jesus. Thank you, God, for giving me life, Lord Jesus. Amen in you, Lord. Hallelujah. And I won't look back. Amen. I won't turn back. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm not going to quit. Amen. Now, because I've come too far by faith, leaning on the Lord. Amen. Praise God. Amen, amen, amen. Praise the Lord. Today, at 5 o'clock, gumdrops and lollipops is where the ice cream social will be. I know the store that they do have a card reader, but the ice cream, you have to pay cash. So come with cash. There's an ATM there, but sometimes it's out of money, so you can't get money from there. So, 334 Main Street in Niantic. If you know where that Niantic Bay Bridge is, pass over the bridge and it's there on the left side. Praise God. It's always a fun time. I'm looking forward to seeing everybody out there. Amen. God bless you. Thank you so much for coming. You're dismissed in Jesus' name. Amen. It's good to have Brother Lawrence playing bass today. Amen. And his mom's here today as well. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. God bless you.
Yeah. 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 Good. Not shy about it.